verse 36, and as they thus spake, that is the disciples and those who were with them, we're told that as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The first Lord's Day, that is the first day of the week that we read about here in this chapter in Luke, was a day of great activity for the Lord Jesus himself and for his followers. Because upon the first day of the week, the Savior had risen from the grave and conquered death, and leaving behind him an empty tomb and a grave clothes, there were those who on that first Lord's Day went to the sepulchre in the hope and desire of seeing Christ. This they did, Luke 24, verse 1, very early in the morning. We're also told that it was actually dark when they made their way to the sepulchre. This speaks to us of their promptness. This demonstrates for us how great was their desire to meet there with the Lord. Those women did not wait until it was day, but they made their way to the sepulchre while it was yet dark. Again, as we've said, it indicates to us their desire to meet with Christ, albeit, as far as they were concerned, Christ was still in the grave. We're reminded then of the words of the psalmist, who said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 63, verse 1. This was most commendable indeed for those women to venture so early in the morning when it was still dark. And when we look at the example set by these women, we might say, oh, that we might always show the same enthusiasm and zeal for meeting with Christ when we go up to the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Indeed, you and I have an even greater reason to be enthusiastic about going to the Lord's house on the first Lord's day or on the first day of the week. Because when those women made their way to the sepulchre, they went there to anoint the body of Christ. As far as they were concerned, Christ was dead. But praise the Lord, when you and I make our way to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, it's not to meet with or worship a dead Christ. We're here this morning and other Lord's days to worship the living Christ, one who has conquered the grave and death and hell and is even now seated at the Father's right hand, for the Savior is alive. Ought that not then to stir our hearts and have a burning desire and longing to meet with the Savior? I notice further that this group of women went to the sepulchre, we're told again in verse 1, very early in the morning, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And so the women, they were not only prompt in going to the sepulchre in the morning, They were also prepared. They brought with them the spices which they had prepared. So this, as far as those women were concerned, was no spare of the moment decision, or just a last minute decision. No, they had made preparation. They had taken time to prepare before they went to the sepulchre that morning again to meet with Christ, albeit, as far as they were concerned, a dead Christ. How important that is. When we make our way to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, have we prepared beforehand to meet with the Savior? When I mean preparation, I mean, have we prayed before we left home? We spent time around the Word to prepare our hearts to meet with the Savior. Because the more preparation that we do, then the more blessed we will be when we meet with the Savior. So that when we enter the Lord's house, we do so with hearts prepared and ready to meet with the Lord. We notice also that among this group of women that came very early in the morning to the sepulchre, there was one of those women to whom the Lord indeed did appear. Mary Magdalene. You could say she was a privileged woman. She was the one of that group that came that day who had a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have a meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ today. May we meet with him around the Word. May we see him as Mary Magdalene saw him that morning. May we see him this morning as we look into the Word. Because in the reading, our reading this morning, there is the record of another meeting which took place the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, verse 19. So it was now near the close of the Sabbath day. It was near the close of the Lord's day, the same day at evening. We are told that the disciples were gathered together in a certain place and others who were with them. And lo and behold, as they were gathered there, we read in verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Here we find the Savior, as we have done so in recent weeks. We find the Savior once again in the midst. And it's always very significant where we find the Lord, and particularly when we find him in the midst. There is much for us to learn from this incident today. So may the Holy Spirit open the eyes of our understanding to see all that took place that day, that first Lord's Day, when the Lord Jesus stood in the midst of those who were gathered in that place. I want to see notice this morning, the assembling of the saints. The assembling of the saints Here we have a group of believers and followers of Christ, and they assemble together on the Lord's Day. Here is a Christian Sabbath, observed by the disciples and owned by the Lord Jesus himself. Because as the disciples were gathered together, the Lord Jesus blessed that assembly that met on the first Lord's Day of the week. He blessed that assembly with his presence. May the Lord bless this assembly with his presence today. And may he, as he stood there that day, may he this day stand in our midst. Regarding the assembling of the saints, I want us to notice the reason for the assembly. We are specifically told the reason why the disciples and others gathered together in a certain place that day when the Lord came and stood in the midst of them. We're told in verse 33, "And they rose up the same hour," that is the two Emmaus disciples, "and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them." Notice the wording. The two Emmaus disciples returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. What does that speak to us of? The fact that they were gathered together speaks to us of their fellowship. Is that not one of the things that brought these saints together on the Lord's Day? This prospect of a time of fellowship. From the day the Lord, by his grace, saved us and made us one of his own, haven't we always enjoyed the fellowship of fellow believers? Being in Christ, being new creatures in Christ, shall we know there's no fellowship with the world? There is no fellowship with those who know not Christ. But there is fellowship that we can enjoy with those who are of like precious faith. And here the two disciples, the two Emmaus disciples, came to the 11 who were gathered together. They were enjoying a time of fellowship. You recall how Saul of Tarsus, when he was saved there on the Damascus Road, remember how he was blinded? Then he was taken to a particular place and a particular street and a particular home, and we're told, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." And there's the remarkable change, the wonderful change that had taken place in Paul's heart. Prior to that meeting, he was on his way to Damascus to arrest the disciples and imprison them. But that journey was wonderfully interrupted when the Lord appeared unto him and cried out to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And there at the side of that dusty road, Saul of Tarsus bowed the knee and received Christ as his Savior. And instead of going to Damascus to persecute the believers, we're told that he sought out the believers in order that he might have fellowship with them. That's the change. That's a mark of the change that takes place in someone who has experienced the new birth. They no longer want to run with the world. They want to be with God's people. How we have proven the truth of the words of the psalmist in that short psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that's how the two Emmaus disciples found the 11. They were dwelling together there in that place. And it was in that place, when those disciples were having that time of fellowship, that the Lord Jesus appeared in the midst of them. They came together for fellowship. They came together for another reason. Because of their fear. Their fear. Because you see, John tells us, John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. So they had the doors shut for fear. That was another reason that brought them together. The fear of the Jews. Because, you see, the hatred against their master and his crucifixion and the persecution of the disciples had drawn them together. And outside those shut doors was a city that was very hostile to the Lord and to his people. So they were drawn together and they shut, as it were, the world outside. And they were shut in one with the other. And soon they were shut in with Christ. Is that not a reason why we come together on the Lord's Day morning and assemble together in the Lord's house? For a short time at least, we're able to come to the Lord's house and shut out the world. And those things that have occupied our time and our attention during the week, we can leave those things outside. And we come and we're shut in with Christ. We shut the world outside. And oh, may it always be the world that's shut outside. Didn't someone once say that he looked for the church in the world? Instead, he found the world in the church. Well, those disciples shut the world out. And having shut out the world, Christ came to that assembly. I don't believe for a moment that any congregation that is worldly and has brought the world in is going to enjoy having Christ in the midst. We're not off the world, just as Christ is not off the world. And while those disciples closed those doors for fear, in many ways we close our doors for fear also. For fear of the world coming in to God's house. We want to be in the Lord's house with Christ. We want him to stand in our midst. As Isaac Watts puts it, in another one of his great hymns, how sweet and awful is the place with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choicest of her stores. So the reason why these disciples came together on the first Lord's Day was for fellowship and was for fear. Another reason, the best reason of all, they had gathered together there, and we noticed their focus. Their focus. All who had gathered themselves together in that place were focused upon one subject: the Lord Jesus Christ. You look there at verse 33. And they rose up, the two Emmaus disciples, the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together in them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And then the verse 36 begins, "And as they thus spake." In other words, Christ was the topic of their conversation as they thus spake. They were talking about Christ. He was the topic of conversation. The two Emmaus disciples were talking about how the Lord had met with them and how he had opened their eyes. And there in their home, in the breaking of the bread and the common meal, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished out of their sight. And they came to the 11. And they were talking about what had happened. And as they spake thus, they were talking about Christ. There you have their focus. Isn't that the way it ought to be? Isn't that the way it ought always to be? That when we go up to the Lord's house on the Lord's day to worship the God of heaven, our focus ought always to be upon Jesus Christ. The topic of our conversations should always be Christ. As they thus speak. I remember the days before I was saved, my wife and I attended an Anglican church. There wasn't much to hear there. But the whole topic of conversation after the meeting was, who won the football the day before? Or how the team you were supporting, how they did. That was the topic of conversation. Or other worldly pursuits. But those who gathered that day in this meeting place were not talking about anything of that nature. There was no worldly conversation. As they thus spake, they were talking about Christ. They were speaking of him. And my, we have no better reason for going up to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and gathering together than to speak and to hear about Christ. Sure, we couldn't hear enough about him. We couldn't learn enough about him. If you were spared to live 100 years and heard Christ preached every Sabbath of those 100 years, you would still only be touching the surface. For the book is full of Christ. Think of the words of Eliza Hewitt. More about Jesus in his word. Holding communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line. Making each faithful saying mine. Holding communion. That's what we do. That's what we want to do. We want to have communion with Christ. Holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more. Tell me more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see. More of his love, who died for me. What an attraction that is, then. To go up to the Lord's house, to have the Word of God open, and to have Christ preached. Sure, you couldn't beat that. As well as the reason for their assembly, one is to notice the report to the assembly. It would appear that the risen Savior was seen and revealed himself 5 times on that first Lord's Day. First of all, he was seen by Mary Magdalene alone in the garden, John 20, verse 14. He was then seen by a group of women who had visited the sepulchre and were leaving the sepulchre to go and see the disciples and to tell them that the sepulchre was empty. And as they were on their way, Christ appeared unto them. You remember how they fell down, held his feet and worshipped him. There's a second appearance. We're told then in Luke 24, verse 34, that he was seen by Peter. We're not told where, but it was on the first day of the week. Then we are told in Luke 24, verse 15, that he revealed himself unto the 2 disciples on their way to Emmaus. So there's 4 appearances. Of the Lord on that first Lord's Day. And now the 5th appearance is to the disciples and others who were with them, where they were gathered, the doors being shut for fear of the Jews. 5 appearances. Closing out that first Lord's Day with the Savior standing in the midst. Now we have heard it often enough. 5 is the number of grace. 5 is the number of grace. And wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord in his grace were to come today and make himself so known to us, it would be almost as if we could hear the rustle of his garments. We would sense the fragrance of his presence. we would look by faith and see our dear Savior standing in the midst. Have you ever been in a meeting like that? I have. When the Lord's presence has been so felt in a real way, when the benediction was pronounced, nobody moved. Everybody just sat still. Such was a sense of the Lord's presence. And here and there, throughout the congregation, could be heard believers sobbing and weeping, knowing that the thrice holy Christ was in their midst, and they felt their own sinfulness. Oh, for days like that. Oh, for Sabbath day services like that. When the Lord comes and stands in our midst and is pleased to reveal himself to us by his grace. And all whom the Lord appeared unto that day, all except Peter, we are told, made it their business to go and tell the assembled disciples. Mary Magdalene did that. The two Emmaus disciples did that. And here we have the Lord appearing unto the assembled disciples. And that group of women who met him as they left the sepulchre, they did the same thing. They all headed to the one place. They were all drawn together. They all came to that assembly with their report about meeting the risen Lord. They came with a message. And they came to talk about their meeting. And when did that happen? At the close of the day. You think of that meeting, what it must have been like. The disciples were there, and we're told others that were with them. Mary Magdalene, those women, the two Emmaus disciples. And they're all gathered together, and they were all talking about the Lord. And they had all seen the Lord. What a wonderful way to close out the first Lord's Day. As we gather here this morning, and Lord willing, again this evening, may we close out this Lord's Day in the same way. Because all who came there, they all came and they talked about the Lord revealing himself to them. Now, wouldn't it be something if tonight, at the close of this Sabbath, that would be our testimony too. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each one of us who know Christ were able to say at the close of this Sabbath, you know something? The Lord met with me today. I had a meeting with the Lord today. And he blessed my soul. We've noticed their reason for assembling and their report to the assembly. That brings us now to their reward and the assembly. That is, all those who gathered there were well rewarded. All of those that came to the meeting place on that Sabbath evening, they were well rewarded. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. That was a good reward, wasn't it? It was a reward for those, first of all, who had traveled a distance. Traveled a distance. Well, the two Emmaus disciples had the Lord in their home, you recall. Remember how they were leaving Jerusalem? And they were talking one with the other about the events that had taken place in Jerusalem. And suddenly a stranger drew near and went with them. And this stranger challenged them, wanting to know why they were sad. They said, Are you a stranger here? And then those two disciples unburdened their hearts to that stranger. And when they had reached their home in Emmaus, they constrained him to come in. And he went in and he abode with them for a season. As we've said, they made him a meal, and as he became the host and broke the bread, their eyes were opened. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. There was no public transport. From Jerusalem to Emmaus is a distance of approximately 7.5 miles. So they had already walked that distance. They had reached home. Now they turn around and they walk back again to Jerusalem. So they had covered that day's distance of approximately 15 miles. They walked those 7.5 miles back again to Jerusalem to meet with the disciples and to tell them that the Lord had appeared unto them. And as they did so, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. They had traveled all that distance. But I am sure that those Emmaus disciples were glad they didn't stay at home. I'm sure those disciples were glad that they didn't stay at home, but rather started out from home and went back to Jerusalem. Because when they went back, Christ appeared unto them again. They were well rewarded. And you know, in this day, where there seems to be so few true gospel witnesses, places where we can go and worship, where Christ is preached and his name is exalted, many of God's people have to travel considerable distances on the Lord's day to get to a place where the word is preached. But when they get there, however many miles they travel, when they get there and the word is preached and Christ is preached and Christ is revealed unto them through the word, they will say, it was worth it. It was worth it to travel those miles. It was worth it. Sure, we would all agree with that, would we not? The Lord Jesus embarked upon a greater journey for us. For he left the ivory palaces of heaven, came down that long ladder of humiliation into this world, that he might meet with us and save our souls through his atoning death on Calvary. So what then are a few miles for us to travel to meet with him? It is always worth it, no matter how far we have to go, to meet with and to worship Christ. See their reward regarding their distance. Then they were those who were gathered there. It was because of their distress. The disciples were greatly distressed when they gathered together that Lord's Day evening. Yes, they were enjoying a time of fellowship. They were, as it were, comparing notes of that day. But they were greatly distressed. Indeed, that's how Mary Magdalene describes those disciples. Listen to this. Mark 16, verse 10. And she went and told them. Notice how then she describes them, talking about the disciples. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. Now look at those words. We're told that Mary went and told them that had been with him. She's referring to the disciples who had been with him. And we know how they had not been with him when they ought to have been. You remember how Peter claimed that he would be with him. He would go to prison with him. He would even die with him. But when the test came, they all forsook him and fled. They were no longer with him. And I think those words of Mary Magdalene are very significant, as recorded by Mark. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. They mourned and wept. Why? Could one of the reasons be that there, as they sat with the other brethren and those who were gathered there, they began to think how they had failed the Savior, how they had let him down? It was now the third day. The last time they saw Christ, he was hanging on the cross and then laid in a tomb. And 3 days had passed since then. Surely they were reflecting upon what had happened and how they had failed the Lord. And there they sit in that meeting on the first day of the week, on the first Lord's Day, and they sat there and they mourned and they wept. I'm sure many of them thought, what have I done? How have I failed my Lord? We're told elsewhere that when Peter and John left the tomb, they went to their own home. We're told that the two Emmaus disciples left their own home. And I'm sure every one of those disciples, everyone who was gathered in that meeting place in the evening of that first Lord's Day, were glad that they didn't stay at home. You know how it is. Sabbath day comes. Because of worries, trials and tribulations, and because perhaps even there is a sense of failure. I failed my Lord this past week. It would be tempting, wouldn't it? I'll just stay at home today. I'll not bother going. I don't feel like going to the Lord's house. Maybe those disciples felt the same way. But I am sure they were glad they didn't stay at home, because they met with the others and all the disciples were there together, and lo and behold, Christ appeared in the midst of them. How sorry they would have been had they stayed at home. And when there are those times we just don't feel like going to the Lord's house, but I know and have heard testimonies from believers who have said that, and at the end of the service have said, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came because the Lord lifted my burdens. I'm glad I came because the Lord dried away my tears. I'm glad I came because he turned my mourning into joy. That's what he did for the disciples. Their mourning was turned into joy. They were glad they came. So think of that. The next time that you just feel can't go to the Lord's house today, just don't feel like going, remember what happened on this Lord's Day evening. Christ appeared in the midst of them. They were rewarded, those who traveled a distance. They were rewarded, those who were there in their distress. They were rewarded, those who were there with their doubts. For there were those who just would not believe the report that Christ had risen from the dead. Mark 16, verse 11, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. But that day, as they sat there, there are some who mourned, there are some who wept, there are some who doubted, there were some who were there in their unbelief. The Lord Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And in an instant, all their doubts vanished away. They didn't believe he was alive. And lo and behold, the living Savior stood there in their midst. We're rewarded when we go to the Lord's house in spite of our doubts. Whatever our doubts are, whatever doubts we may have, we've been considering the past few weeks about John the Baptist doubting the Lord. But John had the right idea. How was he going to have those doubts of his cured? He sent his disciples to Christ. Whatever doubts you and I may have over whatever issue, you know where the answer lies? It lies in Jesus Christ. The Lord will remove all doubts and all fears, as he did for those disciples on that day. Because as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. We have dealt with the assembly of the saints. Tonight, Lord willing, I want to look in a closer way to the appearance of the Savior. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee that today, indeed each day that we come to thy house, it is to worship, to praise, and to adore a living Savior. We rejoice, Lord, over the words of the angels that morning. He is not here, for he is risen. And how, Lord, each first day of the week is a reminder of that, a permanent reminder that Christ is alive. And, O Lord God, we pray we might ever have that desire, heart-burning desire, ever to meet with our living Savior on the first day of the week. Lord, be with those who are able to stay for the Lord's table. Bless our communion time together. And Lord, for those who are unable to stay, we pray, Lord, thy hand will be upon them as they leave. And bless every heart, looking forward, Lord, to meeting again with thee this Sabbath evening. Here in this place, we ask all these things in the Lord's name, for his glory alone. Amen.